Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is another edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve Jones will be joining us soon from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And lots to talk about once again here on the show today. Of course, we'll get to Penn State's tough loss at Minnesota last night, a little bit later on, going down 75 to 69 at Minnesota, as heard here on WKOK. But we got more to this story here with the MLB and Carlos Beltran now agreeing to part ways, him and the Mets agreeing to part ways, so he won't even see a day in his first managerial job in baseball. Just a month away, and now the Mets are scrambling to find a new manager amidst this cheating scandal, which has quickly become one of the biggest scandals in baseball history. It has just been so fascinating how big this has blown up in baseball's face, and obviously the main three culprits' face here in Carlos Beltran and A.J. Hinch and everyone with the Astros and Alex Cora and the Astros GM. So another chapter written there. Before we get to that, we have a couple other pieces coming down. Odell Beckham Jr., the viral video that was posted today. He is facing an arrest warrant from New Orleans police for slapping a police officer in the butt when they were in the LSU locker room after the national championship win. So that's out there. Antonio Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, is conditionally separating himself from him for now unless Antonio Brown gets help. And that's just another chapter there in a sad saga that's been for Antonio Brown. You look at the guys that Drew Rosenhaus, as a quick aside, has dealt with over the years. Chad Johnson, Terrell Owens, Tyreek Hill, who's got some baggage to himself now. Warren Sapp, who was kind of a diva in his day. And the fact that he lets him go now, Steve, that's definitely one thing. But obviously getting back here, the big story of the day, Carlos Beltran gone with the Mets.
Yeah, well, I just got back. So.
Oh, literally?
Literally, I just got back 45 minutes ago.
Oh.
We had...
I'm guessing a delay of some sort. Because weren't you supposed to be back in the midday?
Yes, there was a mechanical with the plane.
Oh, geez.
So we started to the airport, then we had to turn around and go back to the hotel. Then that got straightened out because it was 10 below zero this morning.
Oh.
I'm talking about the base temperature. I'm not talking about wind chills. 10 below zero base temperature this morning in Minneapolis. And there's something with an oxygen line that wasn't right or something like that. Okay. So we actually started out to the airport. We had then had to turn around and go back to the hotel. So we then hung at the hotel for a while. I took advantage of my time because I decided to prepare Saturday's game, and I got that done. And without looking at tape, I got to look at tape tomorrow at some point. And then we get there, and then we had to de-ice, and we take off. So now we take off, we're flying back. Yeah, we're going to probably get back around, I don't know, 1:30 or something like that. And we get here, and we circle for an hour because of the wind.
Ooh.
And with the wind, the pilot did a good job of informing us what the deal was. He said, look, you got wind, you got a problem. He said, we may have to go to Harrisburg. He said, we're in the process of burning fuel, deliberately burning fuel. And in the process of deliberately burning fuel, they said this is going to take about 15 minutes. And at the end of the 15 minutes, we'll decide whether or not we're going into State College or we're going to Harrisburg. So this will buy us some time to see if we can burn some fuel, see if we can still land here. Well, it turned out that finally, LC says, look, the winds have died down enough. We can do this. Okay.
Well, that's good.
So we landed, and I'm here. I could still be in the air going to Harrisburg. I'm not kidding.
This was not an easy trip for you guys getting back and forth from Minneapolis.
And all this was going to be, to be honest with you, it was the trip was smart. The way the trip was planned out was smart. And then it became problematic because of what happened with everything else. And that's where it became problematic. And, you know, the players are going to get a good night's sleep. Then you get back. And this is how a lot of NBA teams are doing it now, where they're taking the night, you know, when they don't have back-to-back games, they're now taking that night and they're going back to the hotel. Because Mike Gorman, who does the Celtics, was telling Tom McGrath, he didn't do that. He's allowed to, Mike's allowed to take five games off a season, you know, which is fine. All right. And so he decided not to do the Dallas trip. And so Tom was surprised that Mike didn't do the Dallas trip. He said, why aren't you doing the Dallas trip? And he said, well, he says, it's 3 days. He said, why? You just go in, do the game, come back. He said, no. He said, there aren't back-to-back games with Houston, San Antonio. He said, it's just a one-off. He said, so you go down on a, let's just take this week. You go down on a Tuesday, you go midday, get there, boom. Game's Wednesday, you don't fly back till midday Thursday because it's about rest. And, you know, what the NBA terms load management. And, you know, and so that's fine. And believe me, rest means everything. I mean, it really does. They're showing me the list here of people that will be on the show today. Oh, Mike Gesicki's on the show tonight. Yeah. We're going to have to work around this. So I can tell you firsthand what rest means. 21 years. Man, how often did you have to work? Have you had to work mornings? Or like early morning, where you got in early? How often have you had to do that?
That was pretty much my old schedule until recently. So that was okay, Monday through Friday, maybe a Saturday or Sunday here and there. So 5 to 6 times a week.
Yeah, but how many years?
2.5-ish.
Okay. I did mornings for 21 years.
Wow.
And that meant getting into work at 5:30 every morning, Monday through Friday, for 21 years. That would mean trips to Minnesota, for example, you come back, you get back at 2 to 3 in the morning, boom, get a couple hours sleep, and then go into work. Go to Wisconsin, get a couple hours of sleep, go into work. You know, and this was, I mean, 21 years of that kind of grind. And then the last few years I was there, I was doing the Spikes games at night. Now, the Spikes games were at home, okay, but you'd still get, you know, at 11 o'clock, and boom, you got to get yourself up at 4:30 again, right? And my schedule the last 8 years now, because we're going into our 9th year of the show next month, my schedule the last 8 years has allowed me to do shows in the afternoon, you know, do some work at WPSU TV in the morning, and then games at night. I get back. I get rest. I have been so... I was tired for 21 years. I have been so well rested the last 8 years. And I can tell you right now, you know, I can hear it in the broadcast. I can hear it. Now imagine a player. A player performance. I mean, if you know, now obviously I'm a, you know, I am, you know, as everybody knows, I am 62. I feel fresher than ever because I've been getting proper rest for 8 years. So now imagine a player. Man, grind, practice, game, late night, come back, gotta go to class. Right? They need rest too. And more research has been done, and it's been emphasized to the players, basketball, football, all of them. Now, look, they're kids. You know, the temptation is to stay up a little later, maybe play the video game later, maybe go out with friends later, whatever. But if they resist the temptation and they actually do what they're told and get enough rest, it then changes for the positive energy and performance. So that's why the NBA is doing these additional days on trips as part of what they refer to as load management. And I think it's smart. Because, again, I know how I feel after grinding it out for 21 years where you're, you know, 5 days a week. And you know me, I don't take a lot of days off. And I was, you know, I'd have people tell me at Channel 3, because what I did was I flipped schedules. So I was going to Channel 3 in the afternoons. And John Grant was running Channel 3 WPSU at the time, and his secretary was Rose Schwarzinger. And Rosie told me all the time, she said, "Oh, Steve, you look so tired. You look tired." Then I go on vacation, come back, she says, "Oh, you look so much better." But she told me all the time how tired I looked. Well, nobody says that to me anymore. They just say I'm a tired old guy now, but nobody says that to me anymore because I'm fresher all the time. Because I'm getting rest. Now, for a young person, even though the temptation is to stay up later, like, I mean, Matt's kind of a party animal.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the first step to recovery is admitting it the way you did. That was well done.
Thanks.
And the rest part of it isn't taken into account by younger people. As somebody who's lived through it, take the rest part seriously. And you're seeing in athletics, more and more and more people are taking it seriously. And it makes a big difference. Carlos Beltran out as the Mets manager, mutually agreed to. And we'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, so... The three prominent names mentioned in the Major League Baseball report on the Astros sign-stealing caper have all been fired. A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, and now Carlos Beltran. Beltran was the one, quote, player that was mentioned in the report. He, in November, was named the manager of the Mets, and today he... and the Mets mutually agreed to terminate the employment. You know, what's interesting about this is Major League Baseball, I think like most other leagues, have been working hard to diversify employment and leadership employment. And to have, I think it's a tough blow to have Alex Cora, who's won a World Series, and Carlos Beltran, who is respected by so many players, now both, going into the season, there were going to be two managers in the game. One that already has a proven track record in terms of winning, and another one that people had high hopes for could be another outstanding manager and that the players relate to. And now they're both out of a job. Now, whether Beltran can bounce back from this, remains to be seen. It's really very hard to imagine Alex Cora can. And based on what was said to us on the interviews we had yesterday, it may be very hard for A.J. Hinch. I thought, you know, because Hinch was so against it, but didn't really, you know, I mean, yeah, he broke the monitor a couple times. And now the more that you look into this and read about it, you know, there are rumors, and these are only rumors, but about buzzers on collars and things like that to indicate pitches. I mean, these are rumors. But it's rather involved, if that's true. Let's see. So Beltran's out. I can see Beltran, though, getting another job because he doesn't. He was only a manager for 2.5 months. Never managed the game. I think he's going to get another chance by somebody. Cora probably won't, and Hinch may not. It's been interesting. Baseball has decided to go on when it comes to this, and I don't mean just Major League Baseball, but ownerships have decided to go with a scorched earth policy on this. And so far, the scorched earth has claimed three prominent individuals. Now, there's already a story out that the Mets catch a break as Carlos Beltran era ends before it begins. Beltran was never friendly, believe it or not, with the media. And some have wondered whether, you know, if he had stayed on, they decided to gut it out. How would he handle the media, and how would the media handle him? No, that's not going to be an issue any longer, because he won't be there to be interviewed by anybody. He never had the greatest rapport with the media for whatever reason. Now, we don't do any sign stealing here. Matt just tells me go to a break. It's very, very straightforward about it.
That's how I roll.
I'm literally sitting here in the Sunbury Motors studio with my bags. I walked into the studio with my bags and put them down. I haven't unpacked yet. Boy.
That's good dedication on your part.
I just walked in and started, but yeah, I've got to unload some stuff here. Great to have you with us. Yes, and I'm doing the talk show at Permane's tonight. And it looks like Mike Kosicki's on the show tonight to go with Patrick Chambers. It's also the Thon game this weekend.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Let's get to the Today Show, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Basketball last night for 24 minutes. Penn State played beautiful offensive basketball. I mean, beautiful offensive basketball. And then in the last 15, 16 minutes, couldn't hit a shot. They went dry on five straight possessions, and Dick and I could see there was an issue. Now, the common theme in those five possessions was that Lamar Stevens didn't touch the ball. Now, that's not the be-all, end-all. But when you do have a horse, you've got to be able to understand and use your horse. So after the third dry possession, at that point as a player, and this is a player's thing, you have to then look around and say, okay, wait a minute. Let's see if we can get it to the big guy this time, and let's see what he can do with it. I mean, you have to do that. And instead, they came down, took some quick shots, and then started to play a little ISO ball, little hero ball, and that got them into trouble. The offensive rebounding part, even though it is simple for somebody to sit there and say, well, obviously the bigs aren't doing a good job with those offensive rebounds, and it's, again, no. Okay? No. So that brings us to, okay, I don't know what that means. What the issue is with that? The issue is quite simply, it's weak side rebounding. It's the guards. The guards have to do a better job in weak side rebounding, because what happens is the big, whether it happens to be John Hara, Mike Watkins, Lamar, whomever it may be, they're actually on the strong side, usually getting the job done pretty well. Okay. So you're getting the job done. And when the shot is missed because the defense is pretty good or the guy just didn't make the shot, you've got to clean it up on the other side. That's where the guards come in, or the small forward. The guard of the small forward on the weak side. All the time, Patrick is preaching to them, find a body, find a body. And that's what they need to do. They need to go out, and the guards have to find a body. And that's the biggest issue, because they, right now, offensive rebounding the last three games, they've been getting crushed. I mean, they've been giving up way too many offensive rebounds. And it is not, you know, I know it's the tempting part is, and the simplistic part is, well, obviously it's the big guys that are going to do a better job, when in reality, that's actually not what's happening. It's got to be the small forwards and the guards that clean that part up, because it is a weak side rebounding problem. That's where they've got to be better with that. Now, with that said, you know, right now you've hit kind of a rut. It's a problem. You know what? A, you're a good team. Believe it or not, Penn State, in a lot of respects, actually had a good night last night. Right? Alabama, whom Penn State beat, became the first team this season to beat Auburn. They beat fourth-ranked Auburn. They didn't just beat them last night. They beat them by 21 points. All that helps Penn State. Georgetown last night beat 25th-ranked Creighton. Again, that helps Penn State. Now, Penn State has to go and help itself. See, that's what has to happen. Penn State needs to go out and help itself. Now you got to go take care of your business. You help yourself. Okay? And that's what they need to do. I mean, they're getting help in other quarters. Now you need to go out and you need to play ball. You go and you play. It's just like you have in the playground your whole life. Just go out and enjoy. You're going to have a good... I mean, I don't know what the weather's going to be like on Sunday. We have experts for that. Just go out and play. Go out and play. Have a good time doing it. And go out and beat a team you know you can beat. Because if Penn State were to win on Saturday, they'd still only just be one game down of where they should be at this point based on hold serve, break serve. And they've got a couple of opportunities on the road to get themselves on the plus side of it. But you have to win on your home floor. You have to win your home games. No getting around it. So Saturday is a really big game for Penn State. It's a playoff game because it's a home game. But go out and, you know, have some fun. Go play. Just go play. You don't need to think about things. Just go play. Does it sound simple? Yes, but this is a talk show. We make everything simple. It's been my mantra forever. I make everything simple.
Well, BTN did last night, Steve. Heading into last night's games, they had a graphic during the broadcast that home teams in the Big Ten this year are miles ahead of all the other power conferences. 34-6 at home heading into last night combined.
Right. Yeah. And Wisconsin has two of them.
Exactly right. I think Wisconsin, I think, is probably the best team right now other than Michigan State in the conference.
Michigan State's the best team in the conference. Wisconsin is not. That's a game where on Saturday, to be honest with you, Matt, I felt Penn State lost. Penn State's better than Wisconsin is. I know that since Potter's become eligible, and yes, they've won at Ohio State, yes, they've won at Penn State. They lost at home to Illinois. To be honest with you, Matt, they should have lost to Maryland the other night. I mean, Maryland, again, that was, again, same story. I normally talk about, I feel 90% of the time teams win. Maryland lost that game the other night. Lost. They had them. And handed it to them. Turnover. 3-point shot. Like, you see, like, Dick and I are looking at this, and we're like, we can't believe what we're looking at here.
It's been the story of their season.
We're looking at this, and we couldn't believe that Maryland's handing them the game. All they had to do was get the ball into Cowan. And they threw the ball away. Like, hey, you run this stuff a million times in practice. They know you want to go to Cowan, so I get that part. But you know you want to get the ball to Cowan. You got plays to do that. And they completely botched it. Then Davidson. So here's Maryland up one. They turn it over. Again, just get the ball into Cowan. He'll hit the two free throws. It'll be a 3-point game. All right? That's what's going to happen. Nope, threw it away. Reavers is having a terrific night. Reavers didn't play well here, but he played well against Maryland the other night, on Tuesday night. So Dick and I, we're watching this. We're sitting at Murray's, by the way, waiting for the steaks to come out. And we're watching this. And the two of us agree, hey, look, just run a play, get the ball to Reavers, and let's see if this game gets to, which would put him in front by one. They give the ball to Davidson in the corner. Davidson, who has not shot the ball well all year, and even in the Jordan Center, everybody said, boy, Davidson played great. He was 3-for-11. Right. He takes a shot in the corner for three, and the two of us are like, what? Whoa. And he made it. Like, what the heck is going on here? They are 6-1, by the way. They are 6-1 since Potter became eligible. So Potter's helped them, and of course, in the Penn State game, he was the difference maker. But, I mean, you may be proven right in the end, Matt, that they're the best team, but I don't think they're the best team. I think Wisconsin's like the 7th or 8th best team in the...
Oh, yeah, I still like Michigan State, but I just think you can never count out Wisconsin just by the way they play, where they're going to grind you out, they're going to play a good defensive game, they're going to hit timely shots most cases. But, yeah, I don't think they're definitely as talented as they've been in the past. I agree there.
Well, not only that, but Wisconsin and Rutgers, both coaches, Greg Gard and Steve Peichel, are excellent coaches. Both coaches also are smart enough to know their limitations. So each plays a style that gives them the best chance to win. I totally, completely respect that. So completely respect that. And their players play hard. But those two programs make it very, very difficult to become a college basketball fan. Because their style of play is just so unappealing. People want to see points. And again, they're not doing anything wrong as coaches. And the players aren't doing anything wrong either. Zero. Because that is the best way, gives them the best chance to win. So I completely get it. But that doesn't mean, as someone who is a fan of the game, I'm not going to sit there and go, wow, that's really awesome. When I'm looking at it and going, oh, I can't watch this anymore. Yeah, I watch Rutgers. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I watch Wisconsin, which at least moves the ball a little bit. And their styles are so unappealing to growing the game. But again, let's go back to how I prefaced it. Now remember that, how I prefaced it. Both coaches are doing exactly what they need to do to win. I totally respect that. That doesn't mean me as a neutral fan can't sit there and go, ugh. The game is meant to be free-flowing, passing, shooting, movement. If I want to go to see a tractor pull, I'll go to the Bloomsburg Fair. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Okay. Great to have you with us on the show today. And it looks like Justin Fuente is going to be the coach on the sideline when Penn State takes on Virginia Tech. He did interview for the Baylor job, but my understanding is that he has told Virginia Tech he is staying. Fuente is, how many years? Is this going to be his third year? Fourth year? Something like that. And obviously, has had some ups and downs. To Virginia Tech's credit, they finished pretty well. And then they lost to Virginia, first time in 15 years. And then they lost the bowl game in a tough one to Kentucky, because Kentucky won it at the end. And that was one that featured a lot of yapping and everything like that, back and forth, Bowden before the game, got into an incident with Virginia Tech, and the officials weren't out there yet, so he wasn't tossed, there were no penalties or anything, because the officials weren't out there yet. That's the other thing. One just quick note on Penn State basketball. Then I'll get back to Virginia Tech here. And that does deal with the yapping. Arturo yapped all night. Carr yapped all night. Okay, fine. What Penn State has to do, though, is their players have to stay away and not get involved in it. Jamari Wheeler needs to stay away and not get involved. Mike Watkins needs to stay away. Watkins was defending Wheeler last night. But Wheeler got thrown off his game by Rutgers with that stuff. He got thrown off his game last night, too, because he got into that stuff. You got to get out of that stuff. Just keep your mouth shut. The guy wants to yap, let him yap. Who cares? Now back to Virginia Tech. Fuente, who of course succeeded Frank Beamer, and they will have a new defensive coordinator because Bud Foster is now retired. But he had an opportunity at Baylor, it looked like, and evidently did interview for the job. And after sitting down with them, he decided that he was not going to take that job. So that is and the only reason I bring it up is they're on Penn State's schedule. And since they're on Penn State's schedule, I wanted to make sure that you knew at least what news was going on with them. So he did talk to them. Barrett Salee, in fact, is the one that broke the story on Justin Fuente. And again, he's had kind of an up and down tenure so far at Virginia Tech. Got off to mid-season, people were saying he might lose his job. And he's actually going into his fifth season with Virginia Tech, 33-20. And that includes a 10-4 record and ACC Coastal Division title his first season in 2016. But again, the first season stuff, I always do with a grain of salt. I always have, as you know. I remember when Steve Lavin took over the St. John's job, and Lavin had shown some interest here, and people were like, look at the job he's done at St. John's. He's doing it with somebody else's talent. I said, let's see what it's like when it's all his. Well, it turned out it was all his. They got rid of him. Now, he also, unfortunately, got sick. But, people can be the flavor of the moment when they're using somebody else's talent. Or you can be a disaster using somebody else's talent because it's somebody else's talent. So Fuente, his best season was his first season. Well, those are Frank Beamer's recruits. So what does it look like when it's all yours? We now know, after almost a month and a half, what this show looks like with Matt Cotrillo running the show. And it's all your baby. So this is what we know about so far. When you're here, you're dedicated and hardworking. You get great guests. But you can't time out the baby thing right.
Yeah, that unfortunately was out of my control. Well, fortunately, unfortunately.
No, it's always fortunately, my friend. It's always fortunately. Okay? Okay? No such thing as unfortunately with that darling little son you have. And I'd like to once again point out, and I'd like to have this in the promo, Lisa does all the work. All right.
That is, without a doubt, very true.
Well, I want it on the promo.
I'll have to work on that.
I was also the same guy that on the Shikellamy High School football promo suggested that we have the suit call an extra point. They said, why? I said, I want the most exciting part of the broadcast on.